goggles on with the wooden spoon. Recent figures show a 50% increase in the numbers of people who are sleeping rough this winter. 5 years into a recession with more and more people at risk of becoming homeless, as well as charities under financial strain, it's a struggle to deal with the problem. Now, there are charities that continue to provide outreach services to those living on the streets, and our reporter Ashley Moore went out on the No Bucks bus, and she's with me in studio. What's the No Bucks bus, Ashley?
You might remember Tiglin, the rehabilitation centre that I visited a couple of months ago. They told me at the time that they offered this outreach bus. No bucks, meaning no money. They offer tea, coffee, sandwiches, cake, an opportunity to talk. They have clothes to donate. They offer somewhere warm.
But they won't give you money.
No, they're not there for money. They're there just to provide a contact point for people who are living on the streets with volunteers on the bus. They can signpost to services where necessary, and they go out 4 nights a week, one in Dunleary, another in Ballymun, a night in Bray and a night in the city centre.
How is it funded?
It's donations through Tiglin. So volunteers give their time. Often the volunteers can be either former graduates of Tiglin or family members of people who are or were homeless. The sandwiches come from various places. The Science Gallery in Trinity every Thursday donate their leftover sandwiches to the service. Hot water from Madigan's Pub on Marlborough Street for the flasks of water. The walking teams, they know shops and cafes around Dublin that will offer a litre of milk or to fill up the flask of hot water for them for offering tea. One of the pizzerias in Bray gives pizzas in the evenings. So the other place is Harry Nash, Renault Trucks. They sponsor some diesel. They do some maintenance work on the bus for it to be out and about for 4 nights a week.
So it's a real mel. Loads of people chipping in to make the whole thing happen. Who uses it? I mean, what kind of people use it? I mean, there's the Simon Superon, obviously, as well, still going on. So what's the difference in the clientele?
Well, really, the bus, when I was on the bus, it tends to be groups of friends who are homeless coming on together. Mainly Irish, but lots of young, lots of older people. There was a few older gentlemen who came in on their own, who were more solitary than others, who kind of sat quietly in the corner on the bus. The younger lads tended to stand outside just for the crack. You know, they had a shelter that came extended from the bus, and they liked to kind of stand outside, just have a chat, be somewhere warm. They would ask for socks or jackets or underwear, hats, that kind of thing. It's worth noting that you asked that question. Homelessness, it's more than just sleeping rough. If you're living in Ireland in a hostel or a bed and breakfast, or you're staying temporarily at friends because you've nowhere else to go, you are considered homeless. Some people have mental health difficulties. A lot of people have drug or alcohol addictions. Some have had family or relationship breakdowns or life crises. And one of the ladies I met is a woman called Leah. She's 9 years homeless. She has 7 children in her family. She said she comes from a wealthy family, but she's the only one on the streets due to addiction. She's waiting to get a place in Beaumont for an addiction programme. So while we were sitting on the bus having a cup of tea together, I asked Leah why she comes to the No Bucks bus every week.
Basically, this place here is a big, major like help for us. It is for homeless people, because sometimes like you have no clothes, food. Sometimes you've no food in your belly, and you have to go to a shop and steal. And the reality of that is like so degrading for me as a person. I don't want to steal out of shops. It's not my name. It's not who I am. I wasn't brought up like that. But sometimes you've no choice. Your belly is hungry. You know, like it's a harsh, harsh life. It's basically an existence. It's not a life. It's you're just existing day to day, battling, fighting, trying to just get a roof over your head. And sometimes you ring the free phone and you only have sleeping bags. So that means you have to stay out on the streets. And as you can see, you die. Like literally, if you didn't have friends, there's lots of good people. Like everyone thinks people that are drug addicts or that are homeless are all scum, basically, you know, bad people. But like there's people that, like this girl here, she's offered me her home tonight. You know, they're good people, they're genuine, you know, there's a lot of good people. But it's a harsh life, very, very harsh, and it's getting worse. Because you're like, I'm homeless 9 years, and 9 years ago you'd ring up and you'd get a bed like that. Now you ring up and you're an hour on the phone before you're even answered, and then it's like, well, we might get you here, we might ring back again, and you're walking the streets. And I've caught pneumonia, I've nearly died in hospital twice. Like, my health is deteriorating, and I'm 36. It's not all drug addiction. There's some people that have lost their houses through mortgage, through the whole crash of, like, you know, the banks, all that. Like, you meet people that have had great jobs and, like, respectable people, like, and they've just lost everything, and they're on the streets. So it's like, you know, it's not all just one class of, you know, it's every class now. Like, you're meeting all different walks of life. It's really gone bad. I've never seen it as bad.
Now, Leah mentioned a free phone number a couple of times. What's that about?
Dublin local authorities have this number where you can call and ask if there's a bed for the night. But it's a lottery. So you ring up at 10 o'clock and you might be waiting on the phone for an hour. And if you're in a free phone, if you're standing in a pay phone, you can sit on the pay phone. If you have a mobile, you can wait on the phone. But if you haven't charged your mobile all day because you don't have a place to charge your mobile, you're caught. If you don't get a bed, they'd be offered a sleeping bag. Some people would try the volunteer services like Peter McVeary Trust or Simon Community for assistance. But Leah was saying when she's left sleeping on the streets for the night, she said she feels like Bear Grylls, because she tries to find a bush and she tries to find leaves. She'll lay newspaper or cardboard on the grass. She'll lay the leaves over that, and then she'll huddle into the bush with the sleeping bag to protect her and to shelter her from the wind. It was remarkable.
Now, this is the no bucks bus, so they don't give money. But what are homeless people entitled to by way of financial assistance, or do they have to have an address?
There are certain restrictions, and you have to have your last known address or your last permanent address. And there are certain things you have to have, like a PPS number or you know, a form of identification. But they receive €186 from the Department of Social Protection in a supplementary welfare allowance. It's means tested, and you do get extra if you do have dependents like children that need to be catered for.
So there is some financial help there, but it mightn't pay rent, for instance.
It wouldn't pay. If it's all you have, and you're trying to have money. To be fair, a lot of them have addictions that they're trying to feed as well, which is probably the reason that they are homeless. There's very little left over to try and get accommodation. And how would you find private rental accommodation that's going to take you in if you're homeless for a night? There's a stigma attached that's difficult to overcome.
Did you spend all evening on the bus?
No, I spent about an hour and a half chatting to people on the bus, and then I went out with a team of volunteers. They walk around Dublin in various routes with a backpack that's filled with paper cups, tea, coffee, sugar, they've milk, they have some clothes, hats, scarves, gloves. And we walked the quieter streets of Dublin looking for the haunts where you would find people who are living homeless. And it's interesting, you've cultures within the homeless population. A lot of them do come from addiction through drugs or alcohol, but there's the economic side of it, where personal situations have led to people living on the streets. Some are foreign nationals who came here looking for something, didn't get it, and are left exposed to the nation, really. Some, they wanted tea and a quick chat. Others, if they looked very drunk or strung out, you wouldn't approach them. You'd keep an eye on them, but you'd leave them be. I met Robert on the Halfpenny Bridge. Robert is 21. He's been homeless for 3 years. He's from Louth originally, but had to leave Louth last year because of a feud that he was involved in. His heroin addiction has worsened since being in Dublin because it's so much more accessible. So on the Halfpenny Bridge, it was freezing. I was shuddering. It was so cold, and I felt embarrassed because when I sat down to talk to Robert for a few minutes, he was perfectly still. There wasn't a move out of him, and I was physically shaking. I couldn't control how cold I was. I asked Robert if he had a bed for the night.
I have to ring the free phone now at 10 o'clock. I rang it the last 5 nights and they've just offered me sleeping bags, like, you know. And I've been sleeping at a custom house, like, sleeping rough, and it's getting freezing. Like, I'd be waking up with my hands to be purple, you know. Like, I've bad circulation in my hands from banging up, like, and I'm using the grind now at the minute, like, and I was up and had the hospital, like, I hit the artery 3 times, and, like, I'm at risk of nearly losing the leg, like, you know. And I'm only 21, like, so. But still, I don't know, I'm stupid, like, it still hasn't given me a fright enough, like, to say, like, to give it up. I don't know, like, what it is about it, you know, it's just, it's too hard to give up, like, but that's why I'm on the streets, really, is because of the drugs, you know, and it's not a nice, like, life to be living. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy, like, you know. But to be honest, as my mother says, I'm a hopeless cause, and I think she's right, you know. I don't think I ever will get off of it, you know. It's too hard. It's very, very hard. Like, I've tried cold turkey, I've tried methadone detox. The only way it'll work, I could get onto the methadone maintenance program, but I know for a fact I'll be on that for the rest of my life, you know. It's either I'm going to be on heroin or methadone for the rest of my life. It's not going to be a long life for that, you know, the way it goes. To be honest, I don't really be frightened. All you'd be afraid of is if you get a hiding in the middle of the night, like I've often like been sleeping rough and boys come up and kick the crap out of you and try and rob your money or something, do you know what I mean, or your drugs. But by that, like, as I said, like, I don't get a fright about using heroin, like if I'm going to get a bad hit or anything like that, because to be honest, sometimes I'd wish I would get a bad hit just like to top myself off, really, like, you know, I'd be sick of it, like, you know.
So he'd never wake up?
Yes. Now, I did, the minute that Robert said that to me, I went straight to the volunteers that I'd been out with, said it to them, and they went and they sat with him for a little while and spoke to him to make sure that he was okay.
Who else did you encounter?
One of the volunteers was a man called Paul, who was homeless for 20 years. And he says he chose the streets because he needed to chase money. He had started taking ecstasy and cocaine when he was younger and then eventually moved on to heroin. And if he was on 100 mils of methadone every day for 20 years. And at his worst, he was overdosing by himself all the time. He'd be found in the backs of cars. He'd be found in traveller sites. And his mother and his sister begged him to tackle his addiction. So he's just about to complete the programme at Tiglin. And it's nice, his sister now volunteers with him on the No Books bus. But I asked Paul how he feels now looking at people who are homeless on the streets.
From coming out of inside that circle and stepping out and becoming sober and looking back in, it's so hurtful. At the end of the day, that's somebody's child, and it's coming to Christmas now and it's cold, they're hungry, they've nowhere to sleep, and it breaks my heart. And that's the reason why I do the outreach 3-4 times a week, because I want to let them know that there is a way out, that there is hope. For an addict for 22 years, I want to show them that there is a way out, and I'm living proof that there's a way out. And when I talk to them, they can feel that comfort, and I give them hope. And all I can do is give them hope.
So when does Paul finish in Tiglin?
On the 21st of December. He is currently finishing a FETAC Level 5 course in addiction studies, and he's been accepted to a 6-month placement in Canada so he can become a counsellor. And to the untrained eye, I could hope for a more stable life for him now, having spoken to him for a few minutes on last Thursday evening. But I asked him what he sees beyond the 21st of December when he completes his programme.
I see Christmas with my son, the two of us together with his dad sober for the first time ever. I'm 39 years of age and I've never had a sober Christmas. I'm in prison every year, most years. Some Christmases I get out, some birthdays I get out, some Easters I get out. But this year he has me and I have him.
That must be so exciting.
I'm actually feeling emotional now. I'm feeling like crying now. It is. It's very emotional. And, you know, I don't have anything. I have no money to give him. I have nothing to give him. As a matter of fact, I only have 100 euros that I've saved to buy him some clothes. I don't have any money for a Christmas present for him. But he told me all he wanted was me.
Well, I hope they have a lovely Christmas together, and we can only wish Paul the very best of luck in the future to beat addiction after, what, 22 years. Anyway, there's a fashion show in aid of the No Books bus this Thursday, the 12th of December, at the Glenview Hotel in Delgany in County Wicklow at 7:30. Tickets are €20, which can be bought by contacting Phil on 087-688-7831. Alternatively, you can donate to Tiglin by texting Tiglin to 50300. Text cost €2, and 100% of your donation will go to Tiglin, or you can log on to tiglin.ie. Aisling Moore, thank you very much. Now, moving on, are you concerned about the health of the price of health insurance? Dermot Good has been crunching the numbers, and believe it or not, there are savings of up to 60% to be made if you know where to look. And he'll be talking to us next.